Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Dr. Ted Mitchell, who is Chancellor of the Texas Tech University System and President of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Did I get you described correctly, Ted?
You did, and took a full breath to do it. Okay. Thanks for having me here, Dr. McGovern. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Ted, we are in the midst of celebrating the 50th anniversary of the foundation and the growth of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, and we are part of a three-part series. You're going to have the final word. You have been preceded by Margaret Vogren, Richard Nolan, and myself. We looked at the book. And then Chuck from the archives here put together a wonderful program down memory lane with Dr. Henry Schein, Dr. Ted Hartman, and Ted Dotz when they were recalling some of the rich and colorful stories of our foundation.
List off names like that from folks that made my job possible today. It really gives you a sense of awe. I don't think anybody 50 years ago would ever have predicted, had they not been West Texans, I don't think anybody would have ever have predicted that we would be where we are today. But for those folks that knew better, that were just doggedly determined to make sure that this thing succeeded.
We have much to be celebrated, much to be grateful for.
You better believe it. And again, people look at things like this, and I'm talking about young folks that are coming through, applicants that are looking at our various schools. You come through and see things like this. If you don't look kind of at the second layer down, you could get the idea that it's always been like this. Because if you walk around now, particularly with the new construction that we're finishing on all the campuses, you can get a sense that, hey, this is something that's been great. It's been here forever. You have to really step back and think that, you know what? We were, until just recently, considered one of the new medical schools. But here we are 50 years later, and we're not obviously only a medical school, but we have five very vibrant schools within the university. It's easy. It's easy for us, given as well as everything's going today, to forget how difficult it was 40 and 50 years ago.
Of course, I've been associated with the health sciences for 41 years, and having lived in Lubbock almost 60 years, I've a living portion of the story and of this history, which has been delightful.
I would like to have been, but in 1969, I was in second grade.
Oh, my goodness. I remember when I started under George Tyner way back. We were in Thompson Hall, and Preston Smith had an office downstairs on the first floor. And many, many afternoons, I go down and chat and talk with him.
It's wonderful. And I will tell you, I do have a connection to Governor Smith. My barber was his barber. So I have a connection. I've got this spiritual connection going all the way back through a pair of barber shears.
Well, you know, there's no more intimate connection than a barber.
That's right. That's right.
And the stories he has, and Governor Preston Smith has been such a marvelous portion of our story and sometimes forgotten, but to my mind, without his genius, his doggedness, his vision, we wouldn't be where we are today at all. Ted, as you look at us 50 years young, from here it's possible, what do you see is in terms of the present and of the immediate future?
Everything that has happened up until now, what it has done, it has placed us in a position for moving into the future to do two things. Number one, to honor the tradition on which we were founded, and that is having as our first and foremost objective training the very best healthcare professionals and scientists possible to take care of the people of this region. That was in our DNA from our inception. So we have to always honor that. But we are also in a position now, given the scope of the schools that we have, given the reputation that we've developed over the years, we have the possibility to not only do that, but to really take our place amongst some of the best and the brightest of the schools across the nation. And that's really what we're poised to do right now.
my wife Tony is from El Paso. Let's go west and look at the wonder of El Paso. And of course, Dr. Manny De La Rosa comes to mind, and what he has done over the years in laying the foundations. As you see El Paso today from the perspective of Chancellor and of President, what do you see happening in El Paso?
Well, what's so incredible about El Paso? So you have to roll this back, and you really do, I think, have to look at this through the retrospectoscope. You've got to look at what the state was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, with digital communication not being present, with telephones being connected to walls, things of that nature, El Paso really was an island. They were far enough away from everything that they had to be somewhat self-contained. Communication between the campuses was not nearly as effective as it is today. So the world was much larger geographically. Things were spread out much larger geographically from a figurative standpoint. But from an operational standpoint, that also made it where the folks in El Paso really had to look out for themselves a lot. Now, the world today is very, very different. With communications being what they are, our world has gotten geographically much smaller. So we can communicate real time with people in a way that we could not 50 years ago. But what that did, that gave them 50 years back a real shot in the arm about what they could do and what their mission could be for the people of far west Texas. Remember, the folks in El Paso say that anything east of them is East Texas. Rightfully so.
El Paso has been so supportive of the school.
Think of it like this. If you look at the demographics of the state, what I call the Midwest Texas axis, which is Amarillo, Lubbock, Midland, Odessa, San Angelo, Abilene, it's primarily Anglo and it's an aging population. If you look at far west Texas, if you look at El Paso, it's primarily Hispanic and it's a younger population. So if you look at the medical mission, they start diverging a bit. Now, the overall mission of still providing the highest quality providers, that's no different at all. But when you talk about research opportunities, public health opportunities, they are a bit different. And so it makes sense that they are their own health sciences center. But it also makes sense that they're still part of the overall Texas Tech family when it comes to making our case to folks in places like Austin and Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I love the sense of that even though we began each of us vying for where the medical school would be, now we have an absolutely integrated, collaborative, cooperative system that embraces all of the communities and all of the cities and our common good.
That is one of the most important points to be made with all of this, because one of the things that I found so fascinating about 50 years ago, if you look in the mid to late 60s, as the decision was being made to have the medical school, there was not just fighting with our buddies over on the eastern part of the state that wear burnt orange about it. There was also fighting amongst ourselves. There was fighting with Amarillo and Lubbock and El Paso about where the medical school would be headquartered. We were not only focused on an adversary, if you will, to the east of us, but we were throwing rocks at one another. And I have to tell you that one of the things that I really try to impress upon folks today, if you look at the importance of what we do in West Texas, all of West Texas, for the health of the state, and I'm talking about for the folks that take care of us agriculturally, the folks that take care of our energy sector, we're the ones responsible for caring for them. And because we only make up 13% of the population, we simply cannot afford to throw rocks at each other. We've got to be lockstep with one another.
And I think that's one of the tremendous achievements under your leadership and your predecessors, that unity of purpose and of community. We are now a West Texas community where healthcare is concerned, and that's a delight.
I think that is something that is significantly different than 50 years ago. And I think people over here now realize, as El Paso goes, Lubbock will go. And as Lubbock goes, El Paso will go.
Ted, at this point, we'll take a short break, and then we'll continue this trip down memory lane, past, present, and future.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Dr. Ted Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell is Chancellor of the Texas Tech University System and also President of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. We had looked at El Paso, and now that we have a dental school in El Paso, that is certainly a wonderful achievement.
Not just the people of El Paso and far west Texas, but for the people of the entire region, including Lubbock and Amarillo, Midland, Odessa, San Angelo, and Abilene. You better believe it.
Let's go north to Amarillo and we'll talk a little about the achievements. What do you see or what do you think?
If you look at the character of the city of Amarillo, these are people that have, as much as anybody in the state, always had this can-do sense of rugged independence with everything they do, which is, I guess, only fitting that they're the epicenter of the beef industry of the nation. They have always focused on just getting the job done. For us up there, if you look at the campus that we have there, it has really helped because in order for them to take care of their community in the 26 counties of the Panhandle, they've come to rely heavily on our Health Sciences Center as not only a workforce development, but as a partner in getting other things done and solving issues up there related to healthcare.
The closest association with the universities and the colleges in the area, I think that's so admirable.
You better believe it. If you go back and look at Senator Teal Bivens, when he was working with, at the time, Chancellor Monfort on getting things done for our School of Pharmacy up there, what's interesting is I was flipping through a history book just a few weeks ago, and I saw a picture of President Teddy Roosevelt standing up in the Panhandle. He had in the photo with him a fellow named Quanta Parker. He also had a fellow in the photo with him named Lee Bivens, who was the great-grandfather of the Bivens that are up there now. And the point with that is their sense of community goes back generations, not only supportive of the founding of the Health Sciences Center up there, but quite literally the whole region.
We successfully got our school of veterinary school.
Right. For us, the synergies by working with Texas Tech are almost limitless. If you have a College of Veterinary Medicine, a School of Medicine, a School of Pharmacy, the work that you can do together on things like infectious diseases that impact both animal models as well as human models, also then being able to develop drugs and things to treat those, the possibilities for us are great.
And also, I think, to give a special recognition to Dr. Steve Burke for his early growth of the community sense and of the health sciences in Amarillo.
Sure. And you know, with Dr. Burke, he has a special place in his heart for Amarillo. He had started out as the regional dean up there, and he was up there for several years before he took on the job in Lubbock. So he has a special love for the people of Amarillo.
And of course, to recognize the outstanding contribution of the School of Pharmacy, excellent in producing pharmacists, but in addition, the research agenda in Amarillo is absolutely impressive.
Absolutely impressive. You have a School of Pharmacy that, although it's only 20 years old, they rank in the top 20% of pharmacy schools in the country for research. Just absolutely incredible.
Now let's go down and visit the Permian Basin. What do you see?
Let me tell you this about the Permian Basin. The Permian Basin, with all the oil field wildcatters that have historically taken care of the folks down there, financially, one of the things that we mean so much to that community about, the obvious statement is about healthcare and healthcare delivery. But there's something very important to remember about the Permian Basin. While all of West Texas is a commodity-driven area, cotton in Lubbock, beef up in Amarillo, nothing is more commodity-driven and cyclical than oil and gas. And so you have two economies down there in Midland and Odessa that are feast or famine when it comes to the oil field. And so the other thing that we bring to the Permian Basin and will continue to bring is an economic base stabilizer. When you look at the presence of the Health Sciences Center there, with the students that we bring in, with the staff that we bring in, with the faculty that we bring in, it adds a base to the economy there that is critical, quite frankly, during times of famine when it comes to oil and gas.
What do you see in terms of Abilene and San Angelo?
If you look at the city of Abilene, it's only a few hours from San Angelo, and as you know, we have Angelo State University in San Angelo, part of the system there. If you look at our relationship with San Angelo in the Health Sciences Center, it's actually extremely good. We have programs at the Angelo State University campus that are feeder programs into our Health Sciences Center in Abilene for things like public health. Abilene is a great community because it's kind of the gateway toward the rest of West Texas. It's been a community always highly supportive of the things that we've done. And in fact, they're to be given special kudos for stepping up during times of economic problems at the state level. They would step up independent of funding from the state to help us with building needs, facility needs, things like that.
And then we come to Lubbock. What do you see in terms of the present and the future for us?
If you look at Lubbock, it's called the hub city for a reason. Mm-hmm. For us, the way our Health Sciences Center is laid out, it is absolutely the hub of everything that goes on. We're fortunate that we have the presence here with Texas Tech University. It does, in fact, make attracting students and staff and faculty who otherwise may not give us a look. It does make it easier to track them here when you have a large Division I school on the same piece of property.
You see, that we're unique in that respect.
That is not to be forgotten, because it is something that is an absolute strength for our entire university with all the regional campuses we have. But having that here in Lubbock does make it easier, because you have a certain critical mass of things going on that attracts people in. And I will tell you that given the success that we've had over the recent years with things, it does put us on folks' radar that otherwise would have passed us over. And I really do believe we're on a springboard right now. We will always remain true to what we've done historically, focusing on the education, an education program that is second to none, but it puts us in a position to be able to address questions that are not just unique to West Texas, but questions that are problematic for rural America all over, with answers and solutions that are made for the next century, not the past century.
Ted, at this point, we take a short break, and then we'll be back with this ongoing history of our wonderful community.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. It's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Dr. Ted Mitchell, Chancellor of the Texas Tech University System and President of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. We're talking on break about the beautiful symbiotic relationship between TTU and TTU HSE here in Lubbock. We were remembering that without TTU, we wouldn't have gotten the original medical school in Lubbock. That was one of the decisive factors in the school coming here. And I think from that point onward, we've always tried to promote that type of relationship.
Well, and think about it. Back then, when the discussion was occurring in the mid-60s, all the way up until the legislation was passed in 1969, if you thought about West Texas, and if you thought about an entity that would be capable of delivering something as large and important as a school of medicine, there was no other entity in West Texas capable of doing that but for Texas Technological College. Our presence is 100% based upon the success they had had since 1923.
And of course, our wonderful founding governor, Preston Smith, was very much aware of that and used it to the fullest.
From everything I've read about him, he was masterful in working with and playing hardball with the folks over on the eastern part of the state to make sure this happened. Because, and you know this, if you travel around the state of Texas, when you get over to East Texas, where I grew up, it's not that you have people over there that have some kind of nefarious plot against West Texans. They just don't think about them. If you just look at the size and scope, the size of the population, the economy, we have a wonderfully rich state on many levels, and were we to be a standalone nation, we'd have the 10th largest economy in the world. It's really important for folks to realize around our state, the great thing about Texas, depending on where you are, like a set of completely different countries all put together, but with a synergy, with a commonality of being a Texan, that is something everybody should be proud of because of the things that we can do together.
Doing things together. The relationship, the partnership we have with so many hospitals over the years forged really wonderful, I think, relationships.
I look at our relationships with our hospitals like a marriage. And it's one of those things that you may not always agree on everything, but at the end of the day, you're joined at the hip and you've got to make it work for the benefit of the family. And so we do. We go head to head with folks all the time. Our mission and their missions don't completely overlap, but at the end of the day, they overlap enough. And we all are responsible to the people that we serve. So at the end of the day, we have to make these things work.
And then, of course, the hospital district was so central to the establishment of the medical school. We couldn't have had a medical school without the hospital district. And then, of course, going St. Mary's and Methodist, now Covenant System. Now that we have a campus on the...
Sure, on the Covenant side.
Side, yeah.
Well, and think of it like this. So you had a medical school that was starting that you did not have a hospital for it. You had a private hospital that said, look, as you build your hospital, which we know is going to wind up being our competition, we will still take the lead in training your physicians.
Then, of course, our individual school celebration 50th
for our 50th year celebration, the way that our schools have come together with one another, the way the community has come in to support us has been absolutely fantastic. You were mentioning earlier about the gala, the celebration we had, and this was not something that was set up to be a big, massive party. We've had those. We've had celebrations with our employees and other things about it, but we were expecting 250 people. We had 450 for that event, and that just shows you the outpouring of support that this community has given to us.
That night was such an evening of memories. The earliest graduates were there, the first graduates of the medical school. People from all walks of life, from all aspects of our wonderful community here, coming together in common jubilee, shall we say, to celebrate the special event.
You better believe it. And I'm going to tell you, the number of comments that we received from people that hadn't been here in 20, 30, 40 years was pretty incredible. And the fact that each one of them were able to leave with that 50th anniversary book was pretty special.
Well, thank you. That was Life, Purpose, and Vision. It's a great title for the book with lots of good history. Looking over the next 50 years, what do you see as our place in going forward? How do you see hospitals?
Here's what's happening. Technology that at one point was limited only to hospitals is now in the hands of clinicians out in the rural areas. So as you know, we train all of our medical students on bedside ultrasound. And that was something that was the purview of the radiologist only just a few short years ago. So technology is driving a lot of these changes. So what's going to wind up happening is you're going to see more and more of the care being delivered at the bedside in clinics all over the area and in homes all over the area through things like telemedicine. And you're then going to see in the hospitals, the census will very likely be smaller, the daily census, but the acuity of the patients will be more difficult. So you're going to have sicker folks that are in the hospitals with people that are able to get their care delivered outpatient all over the place. Now, let me tell you, that's the world that we're living in. That is the world that these students have grown up in, everything about technology. But there's a challenge for all of us with this, and that is to make sure that in this sea of technology, that our healthcare professionals don't lose that sense of humanity and that sense of interpersonal connectedness to their patients. Because at the end of the day, we are training healers. It doesn't matter if you're a physical therapist, a speech therapist, a physician, a pharmacist, a nurse. We have trained people in healing arts. For us, out of necessity, in areas where you don't have enough providers, the delivery of healthcare is a team sport.
Now, I know you're a devotee of taking care of oneself, healthy living. What would your recipe be for staying healthy?
Let me tell you something. If you can focus on just a handful of things, if you can focus on a diet in moderation, a consistent program of being physically active, proper stress management, spiritual management, and not smoking cigarettes. If you could do just four things, and when it comes to the controlling your physique and controlling your weight and things like that, I always tell everybody, you have to just eat a little bit less and exercise a little bit more. But then the third thing is also important. You have to do it forever.
A little bit of meditation and prayer also in the mix is helpful in maintaining the well-being of the entire person, body, mind, and spirit.
And understanding that you're part of something much bigger than just yourself.
Ted, it's been a delight having you this Sunday afternoon, and thank you for who you are, first of all, and what you do, and let's celebrate it with joy and with great delight and for gratitude this 50th year of our wonderful community.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.